We are all Steve Clark.
Would have been easy to crumble and was a deserved victory.
We are all David Marshall.
David Marshall is the hero for Scotland.
We are all Crying Christie.
I hope everyone the bag over was on my party tonight.
We are all Alexander Mitrovic.
Up steps Mitrovic.
Yes, sir!
We are all in the Tartan Army. We are going to Euro 2020.
Scotland are going to the Euros. Come on!
Oh 141 951 1025. Backing Scotland, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a historic night for Scotland. One diving save from David Marshall was enough to wipe out 22 years of hurt. Stevie Clark's men secured their return to major tournaments in the most dramatic fashion. After all the near misses, all the catastrophic failures, all the hard luck stories, Scotland are back. A nation has been lifted. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
It's Friday the 13th and absolutely nothing can go wrong. The good thing about waiting 23 years to qualify for a major tournament is the feeling when it's all over. Let the joy be unconfined, let the praise for the team be lavish, let the respect for Stevie Clark be genuine and heartfelt. And before you ask, yes sir, I can boogie.
Yeah, that's something I think we'd all like to see. But yeah, I mean, it was just an amazing night, just a phenomenal, you know, result. I mean, the performance was good up until the dying seconds. And then, obviously, that dramatic penalty shootout, which was just incredible. Not good for a man with my condition, Gordon. But thankfully, you know, it was this time around we needed a wee shade of good fortune and we managed to get it. But it showed you there's more to football than technique because... If you imagine being Kenny McLean in that last penalty, you must score. All the guys, but the last penalty taken in particular, wow, who would like to put themselves in his shoes?
Hugh Keevans, where do you even begin to try and sum up how good this feels, how important it was, what it might mean for this footballing nation going forward?
Well, first of all, you have to be Jim Duffy's age or mine to have a proper recollection of France 98. I go back to 1973 when Joe Jordan scored against the Czechoslovakia at Hampden and we went to the World Cup finals in Germany in 1974. We thought it would never end. From 74 to 98, we thought it would never end. And then came that 22-year wait. And the sight that greeted me this morning when I came in here of Scotland fans who work here, George Bowie going off his head, Cassie, everybody, the newsroom jumping. George Bowie bought everyone breakfast. It was just a sensational feeling. And I could tell then, because in the past we've been able to say, well, we know what it's like, but they don't. Well, now they do.
That's it, Jim Duffy. Hugh sums it up. I don't want to tempt fate too much about the whole Friday the 13th and nothing can go wrong, but that's kind of how it feels. A country is on cloud nine this evening and it feels like nothing can bring us down.
Well, it just shows you what football can do and national success can do, because there's been nothing to smile about for months, you know, and one football result can put smiles on millions of people's faces, and it should never be underestimated, the power of football. And that's why, you know, we all love it. And that's why we think it is important to continue football in these times when a lot of things can't continue. But when you have a game like last night and a scoreline like last night, even the First Minister's jumping for joy. So it's an incredible achievement from the players. The weight of expectation, which is not there doing, this is, as Hugh said, all the other previous teams and managers and some with some unbelievable players, But every time that another tournament gets passed, the pressure cranks up another notch. And last night was absolutely at maximum, but they got over that line. And you know, it was just, as I say to you, absolutely phenomenal.
Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans here. We're going to hear from Stevie Clark, David Marshall, Andy Robertson, Ryan Christie, John McGinn, and most importantly of all, you. It was a 6-hour special on Super Scoreboard last night. We were here until midnight. It was an absolute pleasure to share it with you. And ever since the clock struck midnight, we had to come off here. Truth be told, I've been absolutely desperate to get back here and share it all with you again. So get in touch, 0141 951 1025. Just to put us in the mood, Hugh Keevans, this is what it feels like to be a Scotland fan this morning. That sums it up nicely. 0141 951 1025. Let's bring in Jamie in Kilsyth. How's it going, Jamie?
How you doing? Brilliant. How you doing, panel?
Good, Jamie. How much did you enjoy that last night?
Well, I'm 63 years of age, and it wasn't good for the ticker. That's what I'm going to say.
There
were times I had to walk away, and I said, I can't watch us, especially when we lost the late goal. Because up until then, we played him off the park last night. The other thing I would like to say, I phoned last night, but obviously it was too busy to go on the late shift, I would call it. I just couldn't believe how we played last night. It was absolutely brilliant. And the thing that I was going to point out, how young is this side?
Yep.
This Scottish side? Oh. And we're only just starting. I mean, I know it was 22 years ago. And, you know, we've been there by the pain and the hurt and all the rest of it and getting thumped here and there. But getting away back to 98 and all that, I mean, the players that we had then, and no disrespect, they were all good players, but age-wise, this team is a young side and they can go far.
I mean, Hugh, what did you make of it last night specifically, you know, on the game? There's a much bigger picture now, but what did you make of the game and the penalties?
I thought we were very comfortable. I could not believe that with 89 and a half minutes of regulation time having gone, we would concede such a simple goal because of poor marking. You know, it wasn't fate, it wasn't karma, it was poor marking. And I honestly thought that our chance might have gone at that point. But extra time was dreadful from both sides. And once into the penalty shootout, you know, Jim spoke about the pressure on Kenny McLean, the final penalty. What about the guy that has to take the first one, Lee Griffiths, who sets the tone? I just thought that at the back, Declan Gallagher, once again, outstanding. Ryan Christie, Callum McGregor, outstanding. And Lyndon Dykes, what a discovery, you know. At first, you're sceptical. Queen of the South, Livingston, Scotland, but he has earned his stripes.
I mean, Jim Duffy, I suppose in the end we did do it the hard way, mm-hmm. but for a long time it looked like we were actually going to do it the easy way. All the fear, all the nervousness throughout the week, we were all told how good Serbia were, and Mitrovic and Tadic and Milinkovic-Savic, and we're lacking here, and we're going to put two Motherwell players into a game of this magnitude. We were just so comfortable in the 90 minutes.
Yeah, well, again, I think a lot of that has to do with the organisation, the structure that Stevie Clark has, developed with this team. Listen, we were all here a couple of months ago after the Israel game when he went to the three at the back. Everybody caned that system. They caned the players. They got a lot of criticism. The manager criticism. Or you need to bin it. You know, all the experts, you need to bin the system. And, you know, including us, you know, we didn't think it was great. But Stevie Clark went, no, I mean, listen, it's one game. We can learn from it. We can improve upon it. And that's exactly what they've done. They've stuck with it. The players have got better. I think even John McGinn said after that game, so listen, we weren't quite used to it and stuff like that. So, you know, don't dismantle something. Look at it. See where you can improve. And that is strong management, but it's also strong belief in your players. So that gave us a platform last night to be defensively sound, as you said, some outstanding individual performances. And then I think the substitutes maybe just took away, because we end up with two big guys up front, and we didn't really kind of keep the ball, so the ball kept coming back, and eventually we lost that last minute equaliser. But other than that, I thought it was a terrific all-round performance.
Jamie, the thing I love is we're going to get different reactions from different generations here, because some people have never seen Scotland in a major tournament. Some people can't remember Scotland at a major tournament. You can, but I wonder if that means you thought that you had seen the last of it. Did you perhaps think these days were gone?
I actually did. To be fair, I did. Last night when they played the extra time, and I'm saying to myself, we haven't got a hope in hell here. I think we are going to get beaten penalties. What a way to go out after the performance they put in. And can I also say, I remember speaking to Hugh Keevans a while back about Scotland, with Ace of Hartford's and all that, and your Dalglish and Souness. When they put the blue jersey on, they played for their country. They went out there and they gave 100%. And I'm not saying we won a lot of games, but they went on there and they played their hearts out. They played for that jersey. See, last night, that's what I got last night. I looked at that game and I'm saying, there you go. You know, it's maybe 10, 22 years. And I'm sitting, I'm looking at the ages of that team last night. And the only one, and I don't mean any disrespect, the oldest one in the camp, I think, is Marshall.
Yeah.
You know? I think, and what a save he made.
I think what you're talking about, Jamie, was best encapsulated by Ryan Christie's post-match interview.
We'll hear that later, yeah.
Yeah. You know, for a player to display that kind of emotion sums up for me how much they want to play for their country, how much they want to play for Stevie Clark, and it was a sight to behold.
I think it was best summed up by this. See Hugh Keevans giving us a wee jig to that before the end of the night, Jim Duffy. It was his birthday last night.
I can remember it first time round, so that's the thing.
You better believe
back
it,
back around, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what, Jim? What it means to the players, what it means to fans like Jamie, and I think what's been great about it is genuinely this has gripped everyone, absolutely everyone. And I know that some people can take or leave international football, even they seem to have been gripped. But I wonder about for you personally, because people who've listened to the show in the past, You do love it. You've been all in on this Scotland journey, and I wondered how it made you feel.
Yeah, it made me feel, I think, like everybody, relief. I think that's the first thing. And then, you know, you're of course proud of the team, proud of the nation, because I think you then, as you've just seen for yourself, Gordon, because you being so young, haven't experienced this you know, kind of wealth of emotion, or this kind of like you know, the passion that was there. It's kind of under the surface, and all of a sudden it's came forward. It's now in the public domain. But somebody like me, I've always loved going to the games. I love the whole atmosphere of it all, and it just kind of gives you that sense that we haven't lost it. It was in hibernation for a long time, but it's now out now, and I just cannot wait till next summer, and just let's hope to God that, you know, fans are allowed back into the stadiums.
Absolutely. Jamie and Kosyth, thank you very much. Let's bring in Josh. I wonder if you could sum up how you are feeling today, Josh.
Hi, Gordon. I think back about the years following the team that we've spent, you know, organising annual leave from work to make flights at stupid o'clock in the morning, cramming eight men into a five-seater car to go across Europe to some post-Soviet Europe despot, you know, to suffer the agony of a poor result. And I think the trials that we've been through, you know, Georgia, the Faroe Islands, Kazakhstan, Charlie Adams sitting off Gareth Bale, the 4-6-0, Gary Caldwell at centre mid. And it's just, you know, it's kind of all led to this, you know, year after year of pain and drinking our sorrows and glorious failure. And it's just, you know, nobody can take this moment from us. I'm not having anybody say that this is, you know, trying to minimise this. As far as I'm concerned, for people too young to have seen Scotland at a finals, and to the older guys like the caller that was on before, who maybe thought they would never see it again, Stevie Clark and this group of young men have just made themselves immortal in my eyes, you know, in Euro 2021. Yes, sir, I can book it.
Well, you paint a very attractive picture, Josh, of you and seven pals trying to squeeze into a five-seater car. That image will live with me for a wee while. But you're right. You know, there's been the highs and the lows, the eccentricities, everything. If it can go wrong, it would go wrong. But last night was the proverbial breath of fresh air. And the national reaction to what happened last night, I think, sums up how important it still is. Because we thought that the interest in the national team may have eroded over the years that Josh describes. But there's a fresh generation now, and they really want this badly.
What did it mean to you, Josh?
It was, I was bawling like a wane after it, and when the equaliser went in, I was on the floor, it was totally levelled, much like the players. And I was saying to my missus, I've seen this movie before, I thought this isn't happening. And we went up, and when Marshall saved the penalty, just disbelief, really. And the most, I suppose, the most painful part of last night was that this pandemic has meant that I and my friends and the thousands of kind of Tartan Army types that would have been in Serbia couldn't even be together for it. We could only be together virtually. And, that would have been a really special moment for those of us who have followed for years and years. But all the same, watching the videos of the team, celebrating after, it certainly gave me a massive lift. And I think the feeling's probably the same across the rest of the kind of footballing supporting side of Scotland. It's just a huge, huge lift after this.
Yeah, well said, Josh. Everyone is absolutely flying this evening. I think we can all agree on that. Thank you very much, Josh, in Irvine. 0141 951 1025. Talk to us. Tell us how you're feeling. How are you feeling now? How were you feeling last night? How did you celebrate it? What did you make of the game? Anything at all. We're all in this together, so let's hear from you on the lines. And we're going to start hearing from some of Scotland's heroes after the travel.
Hi, I'm David Marshall.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
We are going to Euro 2020. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I think it's going to take a little bit longer than the post-match press conference before it sinks in. We do know what we've achieved. We do know what we set out to achieve. We've been building slowly. We've spoken always about positivity in the group, and tonight you see the rewards of that. Unbelievable. The character of the players. I think we were setting up nicely for a typical Scottish last game scenario, weren't we? We 1-0 up going into the last minute of the game and conceding from a set play. Would have been easy to crumble and take the disappointment and not finish the game properly, but they dug in extra time. They kept believing, and they get the reward when we got it to penalty kicks. They kept their nerve again. Two big games, twice that group of players have held their nerve, and was a deserved victory. I know penalties can be lucky, but in the course of the game, over the game, especially the 90 minutes, was a deserved victory.
0141 951 1025. We're asking you for all your thoughts on the game. What does it mean to you? How did you celebrate? What did you make of the performance? Anything at all. You don't even need me to suggest the questions. Get in touch and let us know how you're feeling. Maybe a few sore heads as well, because that's what we tend to do in this part of the world. I mean, Darth Paul says he got a phone call from his wee brother in Vietnam, 6 a.m. over there, both in tears. I was 8 when we last qualified. He doesn't even remember it. Scotty says he was jumping up and down like a madman with the night porter and bar manager in the hotel I'm staying at until I get a new house. One of my favourites ever, he says. And now I'm asking you what you did to celebrate. What did you do to commemorate the victory? I think we're going to be hard pushed to find someone who went as far as Joe in Rob Royston. Joe, tell us what you did to mark the occasion.
Yeah, tattooed the golden.
And the thing is, Joe has sent me a picture. We've tweeted it at Clyde SSB. Joe did get a tattoo. This is obviously radio. Paint the picture, Joe. Tell us exactly what the tattoo is and where.
It's on the top on my left thigh, and it's Serbia 1, Scotland. First thing to qualify Euro 2021. Serbia 1, Scotland 1. Penalties 4-5. Christy Jovic. And I've got a wee jersey with number one on it for King David Marshall. And not a number 11 for Christie.
And it's pretty big, Joel. I mean, I've seen it. This kind of like takes up a good bit of your thigh, yeah?
What's yes, I well, I wasn't born in the last one. Mm-hmm. I was a year off me being born, so this is my first ever experience of getting. I don't even remember really quite close to getting qualified, so this is my first. Just, of our major tournament.
Just remind me of the, what was
it? It's Jenny and Bill with Simple Bath and Kitchen.
We know the world feels a little crazy sometimes, but your home, that should be your safe place.
A beautiful kitchen for your family, a bathroom that feels like your own private retreat.
At Simple Bath and Kitchen, we have a fine-tuned process that makes remodeling something that you can actually enjoy.
Because when everything outside is unpredictable,
your home should be exactly what you need it to be.
Visit us at simplebathandkitchen.com to regain your peace today.
We make it simple for you.
First bit of the tattoo you said again, Joe. What's the first line?
Qualified. I'm going to double check it, actually. What are we looking now? It's qualified. Euro 2021.
Euro 2021. I hate to be that guy, Joe. You know it's still called Euro 2020, don't you?
We're in 2021, aren't we? So, yeah. It should have been there a year, but... You know,
we'll let you away. It is called Euro 2020, but we'll let you away with it. If you're the type of guy that goes and gets it done, Hugh, you're the type of guy that won't care if it's Euro 2020 or not.
Well, Joe is symptomatic of what's going on. I mean, I walked into a supermarket today with the commander in chief, and a man walked past us as if it were the most natural thing in the world, full Scotland kit on, with a Scotland Brave flag over that. And was in among the fruit and veg just as if he was wearing a three-piece suit.
It has been like some sort of alternative Christmas Day school holidays feel, Jim. Just Mark Wilson was on the show with us last night. He texted me today and said, I've just had a free KFC. The manager gave us all, the family, a free KFC because he loved the show so much last night. People are getting tattoos. Hugh Keevans is seeing guys in full Scotland strips in the vegetable aisle. That just about sums it up.
Yeah, feel good factors there for everyone. Unfortunately, no one can go around kissing babies because you wouldn't be socially distant. But yeah, I mean, as Joe said there, you know, some people want to celebrate it by getting a tattoo. Some people want to have a KFC, or I'm sure other fast food outlets are available. But, you know, it's just a case of that everyone has got a smile on their face. Well, not, you can say everyone, but the vast majority of people have got a smile on their face. And over recent months, Gordon, those smiles have been few and far between.
Joe, did you always know you were going to get a tattoo if this went to plan, or was it an impulse decision?
No, right. So there's actually a bit of a backstory to
right,
it.
Go.
As you can think back to the England-Scotland game at Hampden. Mm-hmm. When Lee Griffiths, me and my mate Andy said to each other, well, if Scotland win, we're going to get attacked. And we went 2-1 up with Griffiths' free kick. And then we were thinking, we're getting a tattoo here. And obviously, Stuart Armstrong, if he just played the ball, I'd already had this tattoo. but he didn't. So that's it. So there's always been a thing I thought. And then last night, I knew in the back of my head, but I came on the radio just before the game kicked off. And I didn't want to say it in case... We didn't do it, so but then we done it, and my mate was like, "Well, looks like we need to get tattoos."
So you went straight out this morning, yeah?
Straight, well, not straight out to clear the head a wee bit first of some pints of water, but
do tattoo artists charge you by the line, Joe?
No, he charged me one, but it was really good tattoo. I must commend him. He was laughing his head off when I told him about it, and he asked me multiple times, "Like, am I okay?" In the head, I think he was meaning, but it got done. I'm glad that I was always going to get done, but I'm so glad it's we're doing it now on the way to the Euros.
Do you think we should get Hugh to get one before the Euros, Joe?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you should get matching one, Shug.
His eyes aren't big enough to go with that one.
Exactly.
I had a feeling it was going to be one of these nights, and it's not disappointing. Joe with his new commemorative tattoo. Brilliant to hear from you. That was Joe. In Rob Royston. Brilliant. He's actually tweeted the picture as well. I've retweeted it at Clyde SSB. What a mad night this really is. We already heard a little bit from Stevie Clark. Let's hear a little bit more from the manager.
For everyone throughout the world with the global pandemic going on, it's been a very difficult time. For the people in Scotland, a very difficult time. We spoke before the game about trying to make the nation smile on Friday morning. Hopefully, they're going to smile tomorrow. If we've done a little bit to make them all feel a little bit better about themselves, about the country, that's great. Every player turned up. And I'm not just talking about the 11 that started. I'm talking about the boys who came from the bench. But I'm also talking about the rest of the squad, the players, their positivity, the way they conducted themselves when they knew they weren't starting the game. Everyone, even the two boys left out, Greg Taylor, Lauren Shanklin, not even in the squad. Everybody was together. And that's why we succeed, because for a long time we've been building this group of players. And tonight we get the rewards. Obviously, we will prepare properly for the two games coming up, because they're very important games for us. We want to win the section that we're in. We want to finish top. But if we're going to have a little celebration, that will remain strictly private and confidential.
Jim Duffy, they were all great, as Stevie Clark mentions, all contributed. But within that, there were some particularly outstanding performances, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the pick of the bunch was, I think, Ryan Christie. I just think, you know, there was a lot of people talking about with the Fraser and Dykes partnership breaking up. Would Christie be the one? Would it be Stuart Armstrong? Would it be John McGinn? But Christie, you know, just grew into the game. And I personally, as I said, listen, when you go over there, you need to be sound defensively. And I think everybody deserves enormous credit. But for me, he was a spark. He had, you know, scored a great goal. He had another two or three efforts at goal. You know, his energy. You know, everything just epitomised what you want in a Scotland player playing for the jersey. Yeah. We know it's the oldest phrase in the book, play for the jersey. But he absolutely, you know, typified what it means to play for the jersey.
And Hugh, we actually, in terms of sort of worldwide fame, if you like, and levels, we always talk about levels, we've actually got superstars in the form of Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney, Scott McTominay, you know, the recognition that these guys get across the globe. But every bit as good as them, every bit as impressive, maybe even more so. Lyndon Dykes and Declan Gallagher. What a story.
And I'll throw in Stephen O'Donnell into that as well.
Yep.
Because if you had said at the outset of the campaign, Stephen O'Donnell will be playing the night that you qualify, you'd get long odds on that. Before we leave the subject of the manager behind, I remember you and I going out to Hampden to interview Stevie Clark. And, you know, when he recalled the night when Joe Jordan scored and we beat Czechoslovakia and went to the World Cup for the first time in 16 years. You know, he spoke about being there that night and his dad insisting that he went to school in the morning, there were no days off. And then when he spoke about his own international career, and at the back of his mind, he always felt that he should get more caps than he did get. And he didn't get to a World Cup final. Now, here is this man who has been given the responsibility of lifting the nation. And he's done it. Now, whether that makes up for what's gone in the past as a player, I do not know. I need to ask Steve Clark. But he came back to his native country and he lifted a club side off the floor. Kilmarnock were bottom of the league and he made Kilmarnock something again. And as a consequence of that, he got the Scotland job. And now he's lifted Scotland to heights that we haven't reached in 22 years. So, Steve Clark, what a job he's done.
Yeah, means so much to so many people. Matt and Pollock, what did it mean to you?
Oh, roller coaster, boys. Good evening, anyway.
Hi.
Last night, watching the game, the last qualification attempt against Italy, I just had buried my father the week before. Then had heartbreak with Scotland as well. Then last night, watching it, they called my dad, V-Tam, the jungle fighter, because he was in the army. All the boys in Pollock will know him. He ran football teams, and he always told me, I would rather have 11 tryers against 11 posers. And maybe we had last night was a total of 11 boys, and plus the subs played their heart out. And I like to say thanks to my partner's nephew, Kenny McLean, for scoring that last penalty, because I wouldn't be able to go to work today if I hadn't done it and he missed it. And we can say to everybody in Scotland, happy days are here again.
Do you know what, Matt? I love that, because you said it yourself, that word, roller coaster. I mean, thinking back to those times that you shared, your memories of your dad, was that an emotional experience for you then to watch that last night and think back to those times?
I'm 59, right, and I come to Pollock, and what I'm saying is, and I'm no shy to say this, I had a lump in my throat last night, and I looked to my dad and I said, Dad, do it for us this time, please. Put us through. And I felt it might be crazy. We tapped and should have. We're gone, boys. Then Marshall saved the penalty. Oh, ended up Bramson list last night, and I'm still shaking. I put my house coat and my cravat on, sat down, poured myself a last drink, and ended up comatose.
Are you telling me that men in Pollock wear cravats? Are you really want me to believe that?
That's a joke in the work, because everybody sees me with my house coat on the outside, and they go to tell everybody, say, oh, he's done now his house coat, and I say, you forgot about the cravat. Because I went and lost my smoking jacket and a party in Pollock.
Do you know what, Jim? I can hear the emotion in Matt's voice. It's sort of coming across, hitting me as well. And that, that's just what it means to people.
Yeah, it does, because it does take people back as well, because, you know, spending time with their families, their fathers, their mothers, you know, brothers, etc., sisters, many, many years ago when they all sat round, because they maybe didn't have satellite TV, all the games went live, so they sat round watching this big game that they came up, that Hugh alluded to, you know, whether it's in the 70s, 80s, whatever it happened to be, and obviously right through to 98, and, you know, when you got that tournament, everybody was interested, everybody from school was talking about it, everything. And when you've not had it for such a long time, yeah, it does make you reminisce a little bit, and you know, does tug at the heartstrings, there's no doubt about that. But again, we've said it, Scotland never do it easy. Never do it easy. You know, you said comfortable last night for 88 and a half minutes.
I think it was 89 and a half.
And everybody's thinking, yeah, just blow the whistle.
No, who to blame for that, by the way.
Sure as fate.
DL. He was doing my nutting, honestly. Right. He was standing in here going, we're not conceding here. I can't see us conceding. We're so comfortable. So blame him. Matt, it was incredible drama. I'm sure your dad would have loved it, surely.
He would have. We can, as I say, called him a jungle fighter because he was ex-army. And I'm telling you, when he ran football teams in Paul, it was all successful, and it was all boys. And what you seen last night was the same as when we played football for my dad. We played for my father because he was a genuine guy. Stevie Clark's a genuine guy. People were listening to him. 11 tryers, boys that knew they had to do it, and they done it. And I'm proud as punch. I really am.
Great to hear from you, Matt. Really loved hearing your story. And Hugh, that's, first of all, on a personal level, what it means to people like Matt. Loads of people have stories like that. And he mentions the manager. Is that a bit of vindication, bit of justification for some of the big calls that he's made, as Jim mentioned, I think, earlier on? A lot of the criticism he's taken.
Steve Clark isn't interested in what you or I think of his team selection, his tactical approach, or anything else. He's a coach of long standing and had an illustrious coaching career after an illustrious playing career. And I like a guy that says, well, you may have that opinion, but I don't agree with you. And he'll go on with what he believes to be right. And what Steve Clark believed to be right was proved correct last night.
And let's not forget, this journey started in the Alex McLeish era as well. So thank you to him and to all the players who've contributed in getting us back to that major tournament. What a night it was. And we're not done yet, not even close done, in terms of reliving it all. We're going to get some travel, then we're going to hear from the man of the moment, David Marshall. Hear from him next.
Hi, I'm David Marshall.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
We've done it. Euro 2020, here we come. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Never get fed up of hearing that. Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here reliving last night, one of the best nights of Scottish football in recent memory. And we are absolutely loving your stories tonight. So far, we've had someone who went out and got a commemorative tattoo. They might have got the name of the tournament wrong, but that's neither here nor there. We've had other people talking about how much it means to them, memories of family members who are sadly no longer with us. We've had thoughts on the game, we've heard from the manager, and there's plenty more of that to come between now and 8 o'clock. I must say, Hugh, generally I get angry at myself if I just sit on social media all day. I think it's a waste of time, and I feel like, what have I done with my day? Not today. I've absolutely loved it. I just sat there with the phone in front of me all day, because there is so much Scotland content out there that you just want to soak it up and enjoy it and share it with everyone. And you see these things on social media quite a lot, but they're brilliant. I don't know if you've seen this. Lewis A67 on Twitter, amongst other people, what they do is they take a dramatic moment in a football match and then put the Celine Dion music over. I'll try and paint the picture for you.
It's Alexander Mitrovic, the main man, the stepping forward.
You see where this is going? Just to set the mood.
Yes.
Ian Crocker of Sky in there as well. Can feel the tension building.
Alexander Mitrovic has to score for Serbia.
Honestly, I'll never get fed up of that. I've watched that about 15 times today. You two could be Jack and Rose in here in the studio this evening.
If it wasn't Celine Dion, I might get excited about it.
You're not having that?
No, I'm not having Celine Dion.
Producer Dan, look, he's loving it in there. Oh, that's dramatic. Come on, Hugh Keevan. Even an old cynic like you.
Yeah, it's dramatic. Yeah, I'm buying that.
But, wasted in you too.
No, no, it's all this 1970s disco music that I'm getting into now with this Scotland team.
Ah, he's got his loafers and that on, and yeah. He's going to be doing a wee bit of moonwalking shortly.
Absolutely. I must admit, we ended up, you know, Super Scoreboard runs from 6 until 8, as you know. We thought, well, we'll stay until 10 after the game, goes to extra time, right? We stay until 11. The phone lines were jammed, we'll stay until 12. Mm-hmm. Kieran Tierney joined us from Belgrade. But arguably the highlight of the night is at 10 to 12 when the phone goes, and I can see it, Jim, and the way it works here, the producer will type in the name, and I can see it coming up, Hugh K, and I'm going, surely not. And apparently, I don't know if he'd had a tipple, you know, and it was his birthday.
Surely
he said to the producer, he said to the producer, and I won't try and imitate the great man in his presence. He said, it's Hugh Keevans here. I'm a first time caller. And he got put through, and he shared the moment with myself, Gordon Dio, Mark Wilson, and all the listeners on his birthday.
And what I said, I genuinely meant. I said, Jim, to Gordon, that in 35 years here at Radio Clyde, I had never heard a better programme than Gordon Dio, and Mark Wilson. And after that, I read a phrase first thing in the morning, you see. And the phrase was, the point of life is to live it. And I thought, right, that's my phrase for the day for my birthday. The point of life is to live it.
I love that.
So I went in for it big time, and their birthday doesn't end till midnight. So at 10 to midnight, I said, I'm going to phone the guys.
And you know what? It's a nice change, Hugh, and this is all going to fit together nicely. 4 years ago exactly, you and I, London, Wembley Stadium, Scotland get battered off England, traipsed back to the hotel, tail between the legs. It's your birthday. We'll get you a drink to cheer you up. Bars shut.
Yes.
Tartan Army have been going mental in the hotel. Bars shut. You can just imagine. Well, guess what? Next summer, I'll take you back to that Premier Inn and get you the cheapest drink that they've got in the menu. We'll make up for it.
Well, listen, you're talking about stories. I mean, my grandchild down there, having been born in London, lives in Brighton, supports Brighton and Hove Albion, but Scotland, fierce. And they texted me to say he was scared when the penalties started, but I didn't have the heart to tell him, listen, there's years of that ahead of you.
Now let's hear from the man who made the difference at the end, David Marshall. What a penalty save it was.
Immediately after, it was like a delay. The ref had said, just don't celebrate if you save, because there's a VAR check. So I was just, we got a decision before the lads jumped on top of me, thankfully. But now, I was just saying there on the way up to the press conference, it's almost a numb feeling. It's been so long. Obviously, I'm a certain age as well, that I can remember old tournaments, and obviously we've not been there in so long. So as I say, it's just massive emotional feeling. Just delighted to be there. Probably not sunk in terms of what's going to happen now. I think, as you've seen, I think Ryan Christie was in tears, and it shows how much it means to the lads to get there. Obviously, families, well and own fans that can't be here, so hopefully by next summer everybody can get a chance to go.
Jim Duffy, we could go. We will probably go through them one by one over the weekend. Yeah. How good was he? And how, I mean, talk about moments, definitive moments within the history of our country's football.
Yeah, but also, I mean, he had an unbelievable save in extra time as well. You know, a fingertip save, which was an absolutely brilliant save. But his handling, everything stuck to him, and it was, I mean, you looked at the pitch, it was a bit kind of boggy, it was cutting up a little bit, but his concentration levels was absolutely immense. He never faltered, and in all the games, you know, in this campaign, he's always been one of the, you know, the kind of guys you could depend upon. And the one thing I would say is, get back to the structure of the team, is that, you know, we see all this expansive football nowadays, and people think there's only one way to play now. You've got to play the kind of Guardiola way, for want of a better phrase. But Steve Clarke went back a little bit and said, no, we will be hard to beat. And that's when he's went with the five at the back and the three, sometimes four midfield, and made it really difficult for teams to play against Scotland. A little bit like Craig Brown did many, many years ago to get to those tournaments. So that, to me, again, as tells you, there's different ways to win football matches.
John Paul joins us on the line at the moment. Sum up how you're feeling today, John Paul.
Oh, amazing, guys. Even panel Gordon, Jim, and you. First of all, just want to say happy birthday to you for yesterday.
Cheers,
I know you would have had a great time. It was just amazing. But I
wanted to phone up. You know, the feeling I've had today, you know, I was last night was absolutely amazing. You know, I was like, I thought euphoric. I was sitting with my dad watching the game, you know, and the two of us just jumped up and started hugging each other as soon as David Marshall made the save, you know, and just for a football moment in general, it's probably up there with the best that I've had, you know, and I've had some really good times there. But that last night was absolutely amazing, you know, and we talk about, listened to all the Steve Clark the day and Ryan Christie and the emotion they had, you know, talking about the year, and it's been a horrible year for everybody, but seeing a personal level, it's been a really hard year for me, eh? And Gordon reached out to me with the show. I was listening to Aaron one day in the show when he was speaking, you know, and see last night and listening to that the day, you know, it sums up what football can bring people in life, you know, and not just Scotland, but football in general. The guys on this show, Gordon, and everybody that's on the show, he's all day amazing, you know, and see, hear that all day today, it was absolutely amazing. What I had a smile all day today, and I started getting emotional with listening to Steve Clark, and it just, I thought everybody last night, every single person was absolutely phenomenal, and I loved, but particularly for me, I love watching Carl McGregor and Ryan Jack together. Ryan Jack really, really impressed me last night. I thought he'd done everything he was asked. He could sit deep. If him and McGregor knew if one of them were going forward, they sit deep. You seen the two of them high-fiving each other, covering, you know, and club football, why they play at different clubs, but that's what it's all about last night. And see to be Scottish and see for us to see ourselves going to a Euro, it really means a lot. And obviously, it's an emotional time, and I just wanted to put that across to the panel.
I mean, John Paul, listening to you, and you're right, you and I, because you've phoned the show, called the show before, and we spoke privately about some tough times that you've had, which is fine. That doesn't need to perhaps be elaborated on too much. But I guess this all flies in the face of people who say the most ridiculous phrase out there, you know, it's only a game. I mean, that couldn't be further from the truth for you.
Oh, massive. You know, like I've played football for being a young age. I can mind it was called Soccer 7, you know, right through. And when I stopped playing, my dad took me to games, you know, and people say it's just a game, but football is an escapism for some people, you know, and I love watching football. I know I can watch any game of football, you know, it didn't matter if it was breaking Mark's team against it someday or...
Oh, still, don't take it too far, John Paul.
Or if it was Barcelona or Real Madrid, I just love to watch football. And there's a lot of people, and I know there's a lot of people out me that somebody is fortunate who couldn't get to games or, you know what, and I can mind when I was at a youth club and they used to take us to a Scotland game, we went to a Scotland and watched San Marino, and last night brought back all the memories, you know, even like, as I say, my son was running about the living room last night, me and my dad were covering each other, and he had a smile on his face, you know, and I can't wait to do that with him, and he's going to be two in February, you know what I mean, but he'll be two and a half next year, he'll certainly have a Scotland top on when he's watching the Euros, and it means so much to a lot of people, you know, and every single player last night, done their country proud, and I'm sure all the guys are, you know, it's just an amazing feeling.
We needed a tangible sign of success to prove the existence of the kind of feeling that John Paul's describing, and qualification is a tangible sign of success. We've had our highs and lows, our near misses, etc., etc., but for 23 years, a tangible sign of success has eluded us. And when it came along, and we have, for the last 24 hours, been able to witness the reaction to that tangible success, you now know, beyond all shadow of a doubt, that this country really is behind the national team.
John Paul, great to hear that it brought you some happiness last night. Great to speak to you. You look after yourself.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I mean, imagine the week, right? Scotland qualify for a major tournament and you win Beat the Pundit. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. If you fancy it tonight and you want to take on Hugh or Jim, you need to call right now, 0141 951 1025. You wake up with that feeling that anything's possible, even a Beat the Pundit victory. So get your call in before 7 o'clock.
Hi, I'm David Marshall.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
We are going to Euro 2020. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here, and we are absolutely loving life. Just revisiting everything from last night, from the stuff on the pitch to off it, reactions from you guys, the memories that are being cast up. We've had tattoos, we've had lumps in the throat, we've had a lot, Hugh Keevans. It's been brilliant so far.
The last voice I heard last night when I had called you to tell you how great the programme had been, I heard a woman's voice saying, "Were you on the radio there?" And I thought, I better go to bed now.
It's maybe time to go.
Yeah,
exactly. You do what you're told. 01419511025. Still loads more to come as well. Plenty of time for you to get your call in. We'll let you hear from an incredibly emotional Ryan Christie, a man who I think was speaking on behalf of the nation at full time in Belgrade, and lots more to come. So please keep getting in touch. It's just a pleasure to be able to share these times with you, because my goodness, we have enough moaning and arguing and all the rest of it, and some tough times at the moment. So it's great to have some good news to focus on. Let's do this just before we do anything else. We've still got our priorities in check.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, the chance to cap off a truly memorable weekend with a signed Beat the Pundit ball. If you can get more questions right than Hugh or Jim, that's the task. It's a simple one, and it's the task facing Fraser in Barrhead tonight. How's it going, Fraser?
How are you doing? You alright?
Not too bad at all, Fraser. You're feeling pretty good like the rest of us today.
It was unbelievable. I had to watch the penalty from behind a cushion. I couldn't watch, but it was just absolutely incredible.
I wish I had that choice. I'm one of the worst Scotland fans. I said last night, my stomach was in knots. No choice but to stand and watch it. It was quite something. Well, I'm glad you've come out from behind the couch now, Fraser. So let's put you to the test on Beat the Pundit. You're going to be up against Hugh Keevans or Jim Duffy. But before we do that, I'll need to toss the coin, which producer Dan is going to have to bring me from the other room, because I don't have one. Thank you, Dan. Right. Heads, it's Hugh. Tails, it's Jim. And it is heads. Hugh Keevans against Fraser in Barrhead. Really boring start for you, Jim. You'll sleep well tonight. Remember, it used to always be tails.
Yes.
It used to always be you on a Wednesday. Yeah. I've developed my tossing technique recently.
Right, thanks for that,
Gordon. And it seems to be heads all the time at the moment.
Yeah, well, you'll need to spin it a little bit further.
Yep, I'll see what
flick
we can
it
do
a bit harder
for next time. Fraser, you're going to be up against Hugh Keevans, all right? So I'll give him some Clyde 2 to listen to. Just so that he can't hear you. We'll put 30 seconds on the clock, and the only thing you need to know that is you can pass. So if you don't know, pass quickly, and we'll move on, all right?
Yep, sounds good.
Top man, let's get stuck in. Your chance to beat the pundit starts now. How many Premiership points does Celtic currently have?
13.
Who scored Celtic's first penalty last night? Scotland's first penalty last night, sorry.
Lee Griffiths.
Which country won the Euros in 92?
Germany.
Which town are East Fife based in?
Kirkcaldy.
Which Scottish Championship side won the 2015 Scottish Cup?
Inverness.
Okay, let's bring Hugh back. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock, and they start now. How many Premiership points does Celtic currently have?
32.
Who scored Scotland's first penalty last night?
Lee Griffiths.
Which country won the Euros in 92?
Pass.
Which town are East Fife based in?
Methil.
Which Scottish Championship side won the 2015 Scottish Cup?
Hibs.
Who is currently top of the English Premier League?
Leicester.
Which city are Juventus from?
Milan.
Ugh, what?
No, Turin.
That was straight out. That was out the Gordon DL playbook. Mm-hmm. That one, right? What do you think, Fraser?
Oh, he's done me.
Do you think so? I think he picked you with that last one.
Think.
Well, it certainly can't have been the last one. Might have been the second last one. How many Premiership points do Celtic currently have? It's 29. Oh. None of you got it. Who scored Scotland's first penalty last night? It's Lee Griffiths. Yes. You both got it. The Euros in 92.
Spain.
Oh, it was a great story. Denmark.
Oh,
remember, where
they
even supposed to be in the tournament.
The beach, weren't they?
And then they get called into the tournament, ended up winning the thing. Which town are East Fife based in? Methil. Hugh Keevans goes 2-1 in front, but Fraser equalises straight away. Inverness won the 2015 Scottish Cup.
John Hughes.
You and I were there that day. Who is currently top of the English Premier League? It is Leicester. He's done you, Fraser. I cannot believe it. That you didn't get that far. He went a little bit quicker, which means 3 to Hugh and 2 to... I mean, don't get me wrong, I feel like deducting him 5 for suggesting that Juventus are from Milan. But it didn't,
I'll answer that one if you want.
It didn't matter in the end, I'm afraid, Fraser. No extra time required. 3 to Hugh Keevans and a 2 for yourself. Hard lines.
Well done, Hugh.
Thanks, Fraser. All the best.
Good man, that was Fraser in Barrhead.
What will I sing? Yes, sir, I can boogie now.
Go for it. Your chance to beat the pundit. Oh, I like that, Jim. We're starting to get in the mood now. Right, okay, I'm happy with that.
Have you got six grandchildren who are listening going, no, no,
please don't.
So it's bad enough to embarrass your children with it, your grandchildren.
Yeah,
as well,
yeah.
Do you know what, like, Hugh, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Chris Bunger. Now, he's an MMA fighter.
I would.
Well,
mixed martial arts.
Scottish mixed martial artist, right? And he tweeted in, he loved your phrase.
Case.
He said, the point of life is to live it. Man, Shinjuku Shug. And I just wondered, I mean, he's known as the bad guy, Hugh. That kind of sort of paints the picture. So we've had Chris tweeting you in, and we had the tattoo earlier. I wonder, in your 72nd year, with Scotland going to the Euros, can we either get you a tattoo or get you in the octagon? What's the most likely?
The octagon.
There you go. If you're listening, that's a challenge. Get him down. We'll see what he's made of.
I wouldn't even climb in it. Never mind. Try to fight in it.
Well, I have to take my specs off.
Nah, Hugh. The guy's no problem. Same weight and everything.
I fancy your chances, to be fair, Jim. Not so much Hughes, but you never know. We could train him up. 01419511025. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight. We're asking you for everything, all your thoughts after the game last night, the happy ones, the emotional ones, thoughts about the game, thoughts about making the Euros, what this means for the country and for the football. It's a big melting pot and it's great, to be honest, so keep them coming. Let's hear from Ryan Christie. In many ways, he was the main man on the night, or certainly one of them. He scored the goal, which for a long time looked like it would be the moment that took us through to the Euros. We realised that we're Scotland, though, and we had to do it in more difficult fashion. But it was a terrific goal to open the scoring in Belgrade. And when he spoke to Sky Sports after the game, I think you could see and you can hear what it meant to him.
It's just an amazing night. I think from the start we kind of believed. Obviously the last kind of couple of camps we've picked up so much belief in each other. The gaff mentioned it before the game. That kind of Czech Republic came away in the last kind of 10 minutes, and even the way the game went tonight, kind of conceding that late equaliser and still digging in, and then penalties, away from home, and Big Marsh again comes up. Amazing, unbelievable. When you're on the pitch, you always feel like you can impact it. The moment you're off, you can't watch it. It's horrible. Those penalties, probably the worst they've ever been through, but just for everything, Oh, I'm gone.
Somebody cutting onions in here, Hugh.
Well, when he started to speak, my first reaction was something wrong with his breathing. And then I realised that he'd been completely overcome by emotion. Mm-hmm. Now, you've been speaking all night, Gordon, about the effect this has on people. And when I saw Ryan, I thought when his dad, Charlie, came down here to play for Celtic as a young man, I got to know Charlie then, and in subsequent years gone to Inverness and met Charlie, and you know how much Ryan's success means to Charlie and to Ryan's mother, and so it's a huge moment.
That's the thing, Jim. I hope that we can dispel so many myths just with one result last night. Players don't care. Listen to that and tell me that the players don't care. And it wasn't just Ryan Christie.
Yeah.
Take someone like Scott McTominay, not born here, raised here. Probably when he got the call up, the victim of certain cynics who would say, is he just playing for us because he can't get a game for England? All the usual stuff. We're a very cynical nation. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, you could see what it meant to each and every one of them last night.
Yeah, it was just an incredible, wave of emotion, from all of the players. When the celebration came, when and it was brilliant with David Marshall, because there was that delay, that couple of second delay where he got both thumbs up to the referee to say, listen, okay, my foot was on the line. And then the players at this time are already three quarters of the way down anyway. And then, of course, there's just that overwhelming sense of relief. But then when the interviews came in, one after the other, every single player was bursting with pride. And that pride of playing for their country, being successful country, and what it means. And Gordon, let's not underestimate what this means. In a time where businesses have been decimated by this pandemic, if and we keep saying if and when things get back to some sort of normality come the summer, that'll be a huge boost, not just to the football, but to the economy. It means so much to the country for a variety of reasons. But from us as a football fans, it just is something that, as I said to you, overwhelmed us all. And Ryan Christie's emotional interview, it certainly was one of the best, if not the most, I think, realistic, raw, you know, interviews I've ever heard from any player.
I'd agree with that. And I told you, Hugh, that social media is just a treasure trove of brilliant football-related patter this afternoon. I mean, hearing from you talk about that moment, you know, David Marshall, there's a tweet from Cameron Christie which I loved, and it says, it's got the two pictures, the first one of Marshall kind of checking, and it says, Marshall, you know, Marshall with the quotation marks, "Can I boogie, ref?" And the ref says, "Yes, sir, you can boogie." In the second picture, I've done a terrible job of explaining that to you, but you'll see it on Twitter. It's a lot funnier when you read it on there, trust me. Right, Ben is in Bishopton tonight. What did you take away from the game, Ben? Maybe some individuals that impressed you?
Well, I was very happy, of course, like everybody else. I mean, Steve Clarke really seems to have got it tactically right. He just seems to know what to do with them. You know, to players to play, to be hard to beat, it's fantastic. But I think it's an amazing story for him having a kind of sight, I suppose, to pick, you know, O'Donnell and Gallagher in those positions ahead of more kind of high-profile players, if you like. And it's an amazing story, really, for Declan Gallagher to, you know, 5 years ago he was in jail, and now he's actually played for Scotland and looking fantastic at international stage. So it's brilliant. It's a brilliant story, and somehow he's managed to get the best out of these guys. Brilliant choice for him to get him in playing that position in that system.
Yeah, well, Jim, all week, in fact, was it? Yeah, all week really we were building up to the game, and lots of people tweeting in to say, "Don't be so ridiculous. How can you possibly suggest that you leave the Leeds captain out and you play the Motherwell captain? Typical Scotland. Ha ha ha." All, you know, all the usual stuff. Scott McKenna as well, you know, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
My goodness, Declan Gallagher has played 6 times for Scotland. He's won 6 games, and it's one of these social media cliches, I'm sure now. But when he emptied his pockets last night, Mitrovic would have been in there, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it was outstanding, as were all the players. But the thing, as I was saying before, a team isn't made up of 11 individuals. It's a collective group that has the balance that worked together. I mean, last night, McGregor and Jack, as you say, dovetailed tremendously well. So you've got that solid three with those two in front. So you've got 5 guys basically to break up the opposition. You've got the 2 wing backs who can give you the width, and then you've got the 3 in front of that. Last night started with McGinn, Christie and Dykes. But it's a system that if you work at it and work at it, even though with the changes of players, and you say Cooper and that getting changed, and McKenna being in there, Considine done really well the last time, Tierney coming back in, it is a system the players believe in now. And listen, there are so many positive examples for players who not that long ago would never have been. I mean, Stephen Don was looking for a club up until a couple of months ago. You know, Ryan Christie, you know, was only the last, you know, what, 18 months he really got into the Celtic side and really truly established himself.
London Dykes,
as I said, is something like out of a fantasy novel.
And has that surprised you? Yeah. Has that surprised you personally, looking at his performance last night?
Me, 100%. I will gladly hold my hands up. I never thought London Dykes, a couple of years ago, because I was a manager of Mottman, who was at Queen of the South, could have possibly ever, in his wildest dreams, played at the level he's playing and done so well. So all credit to the boy.
I mean, what a shift he put in last night.
He deserves an enormous amount of credit for what he's achieved, and fair play to him. So, and good luck to him, and I hope he continues to do it.
I think, Hugh, just you know, the nature of football, you've got usually, you know, one kind of main man trying to score goals, and someone's going to need to try and stop him. And all week we were reminded of Mitrovic's record for Serbia, which was incredible. It was something like a goal a game over the last 18, you know, a goal scoring record that we could only dream of in our national team. And you have to say, the way Declan Gallagher went up against him and gave him absolutely nothing, got a ridiculously soft booking early on, and it didn't impact him. It was unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, and you're talking about the Leeds captain not getting in, and he plays in the English Premier League. And you talk about Scott McKenna, who left Aberdeen for Nottingham Forest for £4 million. But the one who's chosen is the guy at Motherwell. And good luck to him, because he deserved to be picked. And just when Jim mentioned the name of Andy Considine there, when you think of his emotional reaction after his first cap, after 500 and odd appearances for Aberdeen, to finally get international recognition and what it meant to him. And I bring everything back to Steve Clarke. Steve Clarke, like every other manager in this world, stands or falls by his decisions. And right now, he's enjoying a purple patch because he's a Scotland manager who can do no wrong at the moment.
Yeah, Ben, usually when I ask these questions after the game, you know, who stood out for you? You expect one or two names back, but you could mention pretty much all of them. But aside from Declan Gallagher, who are the other main contenders for your praise?
Oh, well, I mean, Christie was great, obviously, in Dykes up front. I mean, it's brilliant to find a number nine like that. I mean, you really saw the difference when he came off, so you really got to keep him fit, which might be an issue, who knows. But, no, I'm just in cloud nine. It's been a fantastic day, and I'm just looking forward so much to next summer now, a real boost in it. And I was worried because we didn't have, you know, Ryan Fraser being out, and I thought we'd maybe lack a bit of pace, and obviously Forrest out already as well, so it's great to have these guys coming back as well. So good options for a while, for a change.
Absolutely, gives us all something to look forward to. Thanks a lot to Ben in Bishopton. Pleasure to speak to you tonight. 01419511025. Great time to get your call in, because we could be speaking to you next. Strange times indeed, Hugh Keevans. The show has flown in. It's 25 past 7 and still nothing even coming close to getting us down tonight. That's how good we're feeling about our football at the moment.
One of these days we'll stop and we'll talk about Croatia, the Czech Republic and England. But now is not that time, because if you've waited 23 years for a hoolie, have the hoolie.
01419511025. I'm still going to do a full time teaser. We just won't spend that long on it. I'll just leave it bubbling away in the background. Pretty simple one tonight, I must say. Thank you to Chris in Hamilton for sending it in. He's looking for 10 players that have scored for Scotland under Stevie Clark. Now, it goes without saying, penalty shootouts don't count, because everybody scores in penalty shootouts under Stevie Clark. We've never missed.
No.
But 10 players that have scored normal, regular, conventional Scotland goals under Stevie
we'll
Clark.
Start with Ryan Christie.
It's a good place to start, Jim. One from you.
Lauren Shankland.
Yep.
James Forrest.
No.
No. Okay. And Lyndon Dykes.
Yes. Okay. Leave it there. 3 of 10. I think you'll scoosh that. You lot. You know it all's out there on Twitter. 10 Scotland players that have scored goals for the national team under Stevie Clark. We're about to speak to Dean in Johnston, but first let's hear from more of the guys that were involved on the pitch in Belgrade last night, because it was quite an effort. And I think a lot of them clearly carried the weight of expectation, but maybe none more so than this guy, because he speaks about it openly. He's playing at the highest level. He's got the brightest spotlight on him. He's achieving wonderful, truly wonderful things at club level. And now the captain, Andy Robertson, says he's proud to be the one to lead Scotland's players to the Euros. He says his role comes second, though, to all the team's achievements.
So much emotion going into the game, and you then get, you know, so close, and you know they end up equalising. You have to pick yourself up for the extra time, which we did, and without creating much. And then, you know, when you go to penalties, you always back Marshy, and it's just whether the lads can hold their nerves and manage to do it. But you know, we've came so far as a squad, and you know, I'm proud of every one of them up there, because they've been through a lot of criticism, a lot of negativity at times, and you know, we've stuck together and we've battled through it. Now I really hope everyone back home can see the positive side to this, because we're absolutely delighted, and I hope in a really tough time we've put a smile on a lot of people's faces. The lads taking penalties are unbelievable, and like I said, when Marshy's in goals, you always back him to save one. So what a night. It's so hard to explain just now, you know, emotionally so bad, you know, he's tears everywhere. And you know, like I said, these lads deserve it. You know, forget about me. I'm just the boy that's so lucky to walk in front of all them.
We're going to need counselling soon. but you know,
that's happy stuff. That's all good.
Yeah, he's our superstar, of course. Who among us has a Champions League winners' medal? And he also got over the fact that he missed a sitter, and we went on and we still got through. So he's the right man to be captain of the team, and I'm glad he's joined the emotional club as well, because it's another indication of how much it means to all of them.
Yeah, I think David Marshall said, you know, that has, you know, there's more to being a captain, Gordon, than just going on the pitch and playing. You know, it's about, you know, galvanising the team. And he said about his talk before the game in the dressing room, you know, really just kind of making sure that all the players were totally focused. And you know, I think, as I said to you, you know, sometimes you do sacrifice a little bit of your performance because you have to help the team. The team's the most important thing, and I think sometimes Andy Robertson's done that. But again, commitment, desire, determination, you know, in abundance. And I think we need to change maybe the song from Yes or I Can Boogie to Tiny Bubbles by Sydney Devine, because they're all greeting floods.
Someone's just tweeted me to say, Rachel Melvin tweeted in to say that Yes or I Can Boogie is now number two in the iTunes charts. However, it's only behind the BBC Children in Need special. I just wonder, Hugh, if morally,
if charity
can we club together and knock the Children in Need special off the top of the charts? I don't know.
That's a matter for you and your conscience.
That's the reality facing us at the moment. Some great tweets coming in. Curious Creatures, who always sends in some nice poetry for us, says, "Oh yes, sir, we can boogie. We can boogie all night long, because Big Marshy dived the right way and his left hand was big and strong. We can boogie, boogie woogie, Ryan Christie's happy tears, and Big Lyndon and Big Decky wiped away those barren years." There we go.
Boom, boom.
Plenty to look forward to. I love that. Right, don't forget, we're here till 8, so there's loads of time for you to get in touch. I think Dean actually disappeared. I hope he's all right. We'll get him back. Robbie in Falkirk is here, though. Robbie, sum it all up for us. How are you feeling tonight?
For us, a brilliant result. It was a brilliant result. I just can't believe how well they're playing at the moment. Ryan Christie's goal, I just want to, when Jim and Hugh come in, I just want to get their opinion on that goal, because I fought for the edge of the box and how he's took it. We just swiveling round and putting it right in off the post. I thought it was a well executed goal, and I thought it was just absolutely, and even the penalty saved by Marshall, I mean, it wasn't even a bad penalty. I mean, right into the corner, and it was, there could have been more pace on the ball. But I mean, it's not as if he mishit it, or it was a soft shot, and to get that strong a hand on it, David Marshall was absolutely outstanding. And another thing I want to say to Hugh and Jim is, how far do you think this group of players can go? Because I think they're at a really, really good age, the whole core of the group. There's nobody, apart from maybe Lee Griffiths and a couple of our guys. There's no many in the, like, sort of, that are coming into their mid-30s, and I think the basically the age of the players and how far they can go, and they're just going to get better. What do you think, guys?
The biggest trap you can fall into is to start saying, oh, they'll do this and they'll do that. I think we have to drink in the fact that we have qualified for a major tournament. As I said to...
Oh, I couldn't disagree more. I think we can get as carried away as we like.
What the day will come when we have to discuss England, Croatia and the Czech Republic and all that happens next summer. But right now, there's no need to burden any of them with, oh, they'll go this far or they will not go that far. Right now, we have the makings of something, and we have a manager who is Mr. Safe Pair of Hands, and we can only just wish them well.
No, but listen, I'm with Gordon. I think that, you know, we sing from the rooftops at this moment in time, because 22, 23 years or whatever is an incredible wait. So let's absolutely milk it for everything that's worth. We'll worry about those games coming up in the summer when we get close to it. But in terms of the players, I think you're right, Robbie. I think that the goal, I mean, the interception from Callum McGregor, because he anticipated where the boy was going to play it, and then a little reverse pass into Ryan Christie, and it got stuck under his leg. But what he didn't do, he didn't try to take the paint off the ball, so he just kind of three-quarter hit it, and that meant that, you know, there was more control on it, and it went right in and off the post. So it was a wonderful goal. And as I said, and, you know, again, as I said, the link-up play between the two players was terrific. But overall, you're right, there's a lot of good young players there. There's a lot of players with more potential, and there's one or two players in their 21s, particularly Billy Gilmour, who may well, if he gets back fit again, in a very difficult situation from just now with Chelsea, with the amount of players they have signed, but if he can get himself game time, or even if he goes on loan, he would be another top player to come into that squad come the summer. So listen, there'll be real competition, and that's what we want, but we've got something to look forward to in terms of a target for players, and that is something we haven't had for a couple of decades.
Countless knock-on effects, Robbie, as Jim mentions there. This surely is now an incentive to all the other young players. Now, every single player out there, and part of the reason for their optimism will be the composition of this squad. Declan Gallagher's playing, Stephen O'Donnell's playing. So realistically, if you're a Scottish footballer of any level at the moment, Robbie, you probably dream that you could force your way in next summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just
you know, that's opened the door for other players that are maybe on the verge of the squad to really, that'll just push them up another level, like, you know. And I just want to say another thing. I think Jim Duffy will agree with me here. If there was ever a performance last night that a striker or is usually judged by goals, right, which is London, obviously London Dykes, his performance for a guy that never got a goal, he was absolutely outstanding. I know that's usually the be-all end of a striker, Jim, but for a guy that never scored a goal last night, the way he led that line and he was harrying the defence, he was winning headers, he was just, what a performance, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, Robbie, couldn't agree with you more. I mean, he totally dominated the centre-backs he was playing against. He won every header, he held the ball up, as you say, he brought players into place, he dragged defenders into areas he didn't want to go to, he hustled them, he harried them. It was an absolutely outstanding performance from Lyndon Dykes. And you're right, normally strikers will get them. We spoke earlier on, Gordon mentioned Mitrovic's record for Serbia, which is incredible. But he's not got those type of goals. In Scotland, I'm not a free-flowing scoring team, so the goals will be a wee bit spread out, you know. But his performance last night, I think he deserves a huge amount of credit because he was instrumental in how we wanted to play last night.
And Hugh, all of a sudden, because we've had those failures to qualify in recent seasons, there's been a change in it. You sort of wake up one day and you realise that most of the experienced players are actually gone. Uh-huh. It was only, it seems like recently, but the team maybe just a year ago, 2 years ago, would have had the Mulgrews, Snodgrass, Naismith and so on. Mm-hmm. But when you look through the team at the moment, Robbie makes a really good point. The age of some of them, you know, Andy Robertson's the captain and he's done so much. He's only 26. Kieran Tierney's 23. Through the midfield, Ryan Christie, who scored last night, is 25. McGinn's 26. McGregor's 27. Scott McTominay's only 23. Lyndon Dykes 25. Not only the age, but the caps, or should I say lack of, that they've got. Oh. I mean, the highest number of caps in the starting 11 last night was Andy Robertson at 39. And then even after that, you've got a good bit to go. I think it was John McGinn on 27 of the outfield. So for so long we were told that you need experience and you need guys that have been there and seen it. But no, you don't. Not according to this group.
No, but you know, these are top class players.
That's what I mean. Right. Sometimes that's what you need.
Yeah.
Rather than this fairy tale stuff about.
I think a 26-year-old captain with a Champions League winners' medal is just fine,
And a Premier League winners' medal.
Yeah. I think Ryan Christie, Callum McGregor, Ryan Jack. We expect something of players from Celtic and Rangers. That used to be the old-fashioned way. The team used to be made up back in the day of Celtic and Rangers players. The bonus has been Dykes, and no Scottish club took a chance on Lyndon Dykes. It took QPR to take a chance on him, and I wonder if big clubs here are now thinking, maybe let one slip there. And I think Stephen O'Donnell and Declan Gallagher and Andy Considine on the fringes, they've all proved that if they do it, there's a place for them under Steve Clark's management. So the torch has to be passed on. Robert Snodgrass has to come to an end. Scott Brown has to come to an end. The torch has to be passed on, and it's been passed on to a group who show a lot of promise.
Yeah, Jim, that's the thing. I wonder, I'm sure all those players who've tried over the years and we've come so close and we have had great moments, you know, yeah. Griffiths at Hampden and beating the Republic of Ireland at Celtic Park and some of the famous results we've got against the biggest sides in the world. And those guys that came so close, I'm sure they had delight that we got it over the line last night.
Yeah, but I think, you know, you hear this phrase spoke about sometimes with international clubs, and when they're successful, they've cultivated a club spirit. They'll say that it's like a club team. And that's exactly where Scotland at this moment. And I think a lot of it, as you said, a lot of them in that kind of similar age bracket, they've got a lot of common interests. There's a togetherness there. They enjoy each other's company. There's no little individual kind of, you know, cliques here and there. Everyone seems to go on. They all want to be. You don't get as many people pulling out now, you know, easily. You'll get the odd one here and there. And I think a lot of times that might be from pressure from clubs. But everybody seems to want to be part of this. Even before last night, you know, and last night obviously, as Hugh says, gave us something tangible. But even over the last, whatever, six, seven games, you know, there seemed to be a growing love of playing for Scotland again. And that's something that wasn't always evident over, even with some talented squads over the last couple of decades.
And I suppose to elaborate on that point, you know, they're similar age, but you know, we highlighted the difference between, you know, we've got Liverpool players, Man United players, we've got Motherwell, Livingston, or former Livingston, Hibs, Aberdeen, whatever it may be. Let's not forget, these guys will be from different worlds financially and the lifestyles that they lead. But once they pull on the Scotland jersey, none of that matters. They all seem to be together.
Look at Kieran Tierney, for example. £25 million player. John McGinn, an absolute steal for Aston Villa. They're in the English Premiership, as is Stuart Armstrong. You know, it's good pedigree. And I do take your point about guys from Motherwell in that kind of company. But have you ever met anyone more down to earth than Kieran Tierney?
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, he joined us on the show straight after the game last night. And I mean,
the guy who turns up for Arsenal matches with his stuff in a Tesco bag or whatever it was. You know,
that's what I mean. So we've got a really good group. They're good. Yeah. They're likeable, and that helps as well.
It's just going fine. As I say, this weekend is probably not the time for perspective and talking about what's coming up. This weekend is time for the point of life is live it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Robbie and Falkirk. Some great points. Hopefully we'll speak to you soon. Quickly on the teaser, 10 players that have scored Scotland goals under Stevie Clark. You've got Christie, Dykes and Shankland.
John McGinn.
Yes, he's got a good few. Hugh
McKenna.
Nope.
Fraser.
Yes, I think that's five down, five to go. We'll get them next. And Huey, not that one, another Huey, is in Paisley. We're going to speak to him after these.
Hi, I'm David Marshall.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
We've done it. Euro 2020, here we come. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And just in case you were ever in any doubt about the power of this radio station, Hugh Keevans, Kieran Tierney joined George Bowie on Bowie at Breakfast yesterday. He said he was going to get the GBX tunes on in the playlist. He was in charge. He was going to use the songs to get the team suitably fired up, and they did. The Scotland national team have just put up a video of the players coming into the dressing room straight after the game, and you can hear Kieran Tierney saying get the GBX on. To which, of course, George Bowie's loving it. He's put it on Twitter. You tell them, Kieran Tierney. And Kieran's replied straight away, "Don't worry, it was on rapid." A great Motherwell expression. It was on rapid. So like I say, the power of the GBX anthems and Clyde One.
I came in this morning to find George Bowie as high as a kite, and everyone got a free breakfast on George Bowie. So there's a little
keep
bit,
one for me, no?
Yeah. No, there's a little bit of something in this for all of us.
Oh, it was weird last night, you know, that sort of last day of school feel. There was like pizzas and crisps and beers and whatever all sort of strewn across the place. And at one point they all looked up and Gordon DL and Mark Wilson were dipping carrot sticks into some hummus or something.
Carrot sticks.
That was weird. I think that was
changed
after
days indeed.
No, it's because we to be fair, that was 3 hours into the show when we had been fat shaming Gordon from the beginning, because he wore what can only be described as a corset Clingy / Scotland top. It was very tight on him, and we fat shamed him. So we do apologise for that. Let's bring in Huey, who's in Paisley tonight. How's it going, Huey?
Not bad, gentlemen. How's it going?
Yeah, all good, Huey. All good. What are you thinking after last night then?
I just want to share my personal experience of last night. It's one of these seminal moments, I think. Years from now, people will say, "Where were you when Scotland qualified for the Euros after 23 years? And most people will be able to tell you. For me, I was driving, I was working last night, I'm a cab driver, listening to your commentary, top class, just, it was amazing. But, you know, squeaky bum thing, near the end. And I was saying prayers to my parents, calling in all sorts of favours, come on. And when Scotland scored and we went through, I had to pull the cab into the side of the road, and I get out and I started doing a wee mad dance, man possessed. And I was yelling, and then someone came out onto their veranda across the road in Paisley, and he came out and he'd started doing the same, kind of shouting and dancing, and a Scotland flag appeared, and then somebody on the other side came out a tenement window and started singing "Yes Sir I Can Boogie." And my cab door's open, you guys are on full blast, so there's a noise of the comments, you guys as well. Just a fantastic moment. And yesterday was a particularly hard day for me and my family because family issues with regards to illness and stuff. But my God, it lifted my spirits somewhat. Mm-hmm. And the feel-good feeling is still... It's still here today.
Well, you know they've changed it. They've changed the song now because they heard your story, and it's now "Yes, Sir, I Can Huey." I can Huey all night long.
I don't know if it's going to catch on, but that's what football does to you, Jim. It lifts you.
Yeah,
can do.
But that's. I mean, you can tell from Huey's, you know, a voice again, like a lot of people, in really emotional day, and you know what football does. It's a release. Football releases you from not forever. Just for that period, that little period, it might be for moments, it might be for hours, it might be for a day, but just for that little window, it releases you from what's, you know, maybe troubling you around you, and it just gives you that kind of sense of, listen, you know, we're feeling a wee bit better about ourselves now, as I said, and listen, if that lasts for seconds or hours or days, then you know you just kind of beat it. It's a fantastic feeling.
Drink it in.
Yeah.
Never let it go if you can. And I mean, Huey, thinking back to the game last night, it was just such a roller coaster, wasn't it? We were actually brilliant within the game. It was too good to be true because we're Scotland, and then we get that sucker punch late on. It was quite something, wasn't it?
At one point, one of you guys said, well, "It's looking good," and I thought, "Kiss of death."
It was Gordon DL playing
kiss
him.
Kiss of death. I think it was big deal. Kiss of death. Please don't say that. And my heart sank when they scored, and I thought, because they were starting to come back into the game, shaking like a leaf. But we held out. We've got a great squad here. This squad's more than the sum of its parts. In a good way, and I don't mean that as any slight, they're more than the sum of their parts. They're galvanised, and that kind of plays into just the whole feel-good factor. They've galvanised the country at a time where all, it's like this sort of overriding feeling that we're all in it together. And everyone that I've spoken to today, everyone's kind of emotional about this, myself included, as you can probably hear.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
I must admit, I was at a funeral yesterday. Manny Elizabeth died, right? So she had a funeral yesterday, sadly taken by COVID, like a lot of people, a lot of families around about the country. And my own sister was there, and her family was there, and my daughter was there, and they were all very emotional, as you would expect. But then last night I was getting texts from my sister, texts from my daughter, you know, about the football. And you know, after, so they went from a family devastation, if you want to call it that, and upset and all the emotion that brings you, to absolute joyous. For moments, as I said, you know, in the reality of it, they'll think back to other things, but as I said, it brought about happiness to people, to families. Mm-hmm. And that's what the, as I said before, we should never underestimate what football can bring to families, communities, and what it means to the whole country.
Did you say you're a taxi driver, Huey?
Yes.
What about next summer? Seriously, if we can get back to normal, you're going to be busy, you know, overtime.
Not at all. I'll be down there. I'll be at Wembley. Okay. I'll be. No, the taxi will be parked up. Don't you worry about that.
I was going to say, Hugh, if you and I need a taxi to Wembley, we could have got the other Huey to take us. Well, you can't take us, certainly.
I can only assume that Huey this weekend is waiving all boundary charges for his customers in light of Scotland's success.
Not in these tough times, Huey. Yeah. You crank it up, make as much as you can. Thank you very much. That was Huey in Paisley. Will we squeeze one more in? I'm not sure. I'm not sure we will. Nah, let's not. Let's not squeeze it in, because you know what? We'll be here all weekend. Well, not all weekend. We're actually eventually getting a Sunday off, would you believe?
I was gonna say, you got a day off.
We have been on. Tomorrow will be 26 days in a 27 days in a row tomorrow. But that's brilliant. That's what football does. One game after another.
23 years had to suffer. You've only 26 days.
None as big as last night's. But we'll be here tomorrow, and I know there are Betfred Cup games, and I'm sure we will pay a lot of attention to them. But we're under no illusions. I think it might be full of further reflection on Scotland's achievements, and of course looking forward, because Hugh, this is what's crazy about this. Of course that was the priority. We needed to get there. Sunday's a big game. If we can win on Sunday, we're in a very strong position to get another playoff, this time for the World Cup down the line.
Well, after the celebrations of last night. I'll reserve my judgment on that until I see what kind of nick they're in.
Ah, don't worry, Slovakia will have been they'll have been partying as well, so it could be like a Sunday league game, Jim. Two teams absolutely hanging, just seeing what they can patch together.
A couple of bottles of Iron Brew outside of the pitch just for the druth.
Yeah, but seriously, Jim, there's a lot to look forward to. And I mean, the dates are now in the diary. That's the thing. England at Wembley, Czech Republic first up at Hampden, Croatia at Hampden.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We've got two games at Hampden, obviously one game at Wembley. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic to look forward to. And as the weeks and months go past, obviously that excitement will continue to build. But, you know, say from you know, the next couple of days, the players, as much as they might not want to, have to be professional again. They have to clear their heads. Steve Clark said, yeah, they rightfully enjoyed themselves last night, but now, couple of days, recharge the batteries. Yep. I think he will freshen up the squad a little bit, the team a little bit, and he does have a good
club. And he can, the Armstrongs of the world, yeah, and Liam Coopers and so on.
Anybody comes in now will want to make an impression, because everybody will want to stay part of that squad.
Okay, the teaser, we're looking for 10 players that have scored goals under Stevie Clark. You've got Christie, Fraser, Dykes, McGinn, Shankland. Let's go quick fire.
McGregor.
No.
Stuart Armstrong.
Yep.
A couple of ones that I can't remember if it was Stevie or not, but Johnny Russell.
No.
Chris Martin.
No.
Kenny McLean.
No.
Andy Robertson.
Andy Robertson, yes.
Ian Palmer.
No. What about an old experienced one that came back in and did quite well for us a couple of games ago?
Stevie Naismith.
Yes, Stevie Naismith. Right. On the bench last night, one of the runners, but we didn't get to see him. I thought he maybe could have come on and stretch things if we needed him to.
On the bench, I said Stuart Armstrong, it's not him. No, is he playing in Scotland or
no,
England?
No, English Premier League.
No, I think that one's going to give us another clue, I think.
Teammate of Ollie McBurney at club level. Same name.
Oliver Burke. Oh, did he score for Scotland?
Yeah, I think it was one of Clark's first at Cyprus at home, was it? And the last one, it's the tricky one. You'll never get, because I think he's only been in one or two squads. Plays for Kilmarnock.
Right.
Brophy.
No, Kilty. No.
Unlikely scorer as well. Very unlikely
Stuart
scorer.
Finlay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, Stuart Finlay.
Stuart Finlay, brilliant. You've done it. Well done. Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy, thank you very much. George Bowie's about to come in and really get your weekend started with GBX Fridays. And that is that. We'll be back tomorrow and we'll look back on it again. What a night it was for Scotland. All the years of heartbreak, all the years of disasters, near misses, bad refereeing decisions. We have seen the lot, we've done the lot, and all of a sudden it's gone and we're back. Euro 2020 taking place right here in Glasgow next summer, and we will be there. How good does that feel? We'll join you again tomorrow afternoon. George Bowie's up next. In the meantime, I think there's only one place we can leave you.
If you want more share.